Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Move.
Watch out. You might get attacked.
Seriously.
Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ramblecast. It's your good friends, Jack, Chris, and Nick. And
live.
And minus J number two.
But recorded.
Yes, and recorded this time, and we're gonna we'll keep this copy, and the other copy will never be heard, unless ever. I might put it in Al Capone's vault.
All right, mm-hmm. Just hopefully Geraldo will come around someday and never find it.
Exactly. There you go.
There you go. Evening, gentlemen. It's been a little while. Actually, it's only been about 5 days, but it's been a little while.
Yeah. And Matt, for people who want, Matt is on vacation. He lost his dog today. But the dog was found.
Yeah.
So Matt did everything he could to lose the dog, but it was found anyway.
So I read the text string. It looked like he was running around frantically at like 4 o'clock in the morning trying to wrangle his dog.
Yeah. And he had to had to catch a flight.
Yeah.
And so,
where is he off to? Cleveland?
No. He's going to California. He's going to Berkeley, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You did say Berkeley. Yeah.
I get it now. First in flight.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Flying the Wright brothers plane.
I did love. Who was it? Was it Sherry or somebody that actually believed that he was leaving the Rainbow
Cast?
And that was so funny to me.
like Matt. Yeah. You know, I not to call out Jay, but there was nobody who said, "Wait, Jay, you're leaving the podcast." I mean, I didn't see anything. Did you guys see it?
Jay?
No. Yeah.
There's no protest. Yeah. Who's Tim?
Who's Tim? Yeah. So yeah, you know what's funny? Like, where is Tim? Like, what's he up to these days? I saw his wife posted a beautiful picture of him for Father's Day.
Oh,
did you guys see that?
I saw that.
Yeah. The green screen Tim. He was fully dressed in like Superman a green screen, like he is flying. Like, I want to know the story behind that photo.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him around the Super Bowl time. Was the last time I heard him, because he did text me and say, like, "Hey, I think I want to come back for like an episode, you know, like just like one episode." And I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." And I just
He's welcome back anytime.
Well, maybe this should be the test. Maybe that this episode here should be the test to see whether or not Tim is going to come back. Tim, if you're listening, shoot us an email. I don't even know what that email is.
MarriedManPodcast@gmail.com. That means I'll have to check it. MarriedManPodcast@gmail.com. Because people could be sending us feedback, and I just keep forgetting it's checked.
But we do live in the age of technology, so you feel free to text as well, Tim. I miss you.
I think you have our phone number.
And
I don't know if I mess him.
I kind of do. Like I enjoyed his take on many things. I enjoyed his humor.
Oh yeah.
For 10 minutes.
Well, I'll forever be remembered for Bun Patty Bun. That'll be on my grave.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, some of the greatest of old school memes from this show come from Tim.
Yeah,
he does. He has a really good mind for exactly, because like most of us probably wouldn't have exploited Bun Patty Bun the way he did.
Oh no, no,
he didn't let it go.
Yeah, and it's just
now I don't let it go now, because when In-N-Out had a problem in Texas, they had to recall all their buns. Yeah. All their patties or something like that.
So
whatever it was,
like I like to ask the listeners and people on the Patreon group what are your theories? What actually happened to Tim? So I will share my my theory that I just came up with 6 seconds ago. I feel like the infamous double date with the friends. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
yeah.
the wine the dates?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think that may have blossomed into something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So now
he doesn't have time. Mm-hmm.
Is it
a podcasting sex cult?
I don't know. Well, Jack, I never called it a sex cult. That one's on you. That's on you.
I heard Nick say it.
But I'm concerned for Tim's well-being. I would really love to get a wellness check on Tim. So Tim, if you are listening, please reach out. And for everyone else listening, I want to hear what your theories are on Tim's disappearance.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Speaking of bun patty bun, a coworker of mine.
Speaking of sex cults, that Nick was one that brought up.
That would have been a much better story though than this one. her doctor advised her to get onto the keto diet, which I could never do because I'm just not that disciplined.
The what diet?
Keto.
Ketosis diet.
Ketosis diet. Yes.
What is that?
You cut out all carbs and sugar.
Isn't that the Atkins diet?
I think you can still have sugar on the Atkins diet.
It's similar. Nick, you should explain it. Your friend's going on it. So like you trick your body.
Yeah. Basically, carbs are the enemy. And instead of going on a carb-based diet, which most Americans are on, you go to a high-fat diet. And you're still getting energy, but you eat.
Bacon!
You eat a lot more throughout the day, but it's because you're not getting that pure energy from carbs. You have to generate it from fat. And that's what she did. And so I was over her house the other day, and she, you know, part of you are like, man, I kind of want to try this. But then you start thinking about like what you're giving up as well. And you're like, I don't know if I could do that. Because like what she made me was like minced chicken with a lot of cheese wrapped in bacon on some kind of lettuce. And I was like, man, this is good. And I know it's not the healthiest thing for you because it's bacon, but still like you're not.
Well, it has lettuce.
Yeah, it has lettuce. But I mean, that was just like something, you know, and you lose weight because of it. And they say it.
But how long do you have to be on that? Forever?
Well, it's just a lifestyle like the paleo diet or anything else.
So you have to stay on it. That's the key. And, you know, Raph Castillo from the Jay and Jack group, he's doing it right now. And I think he's actually been very successful with it. Now, so I took a plunge. I fell prey, not prey, but I fell for one of the Facebook advertisements. And I was like, I'm going to look into this.
Was it a Russian advertisement?
No, it wasn't one of those. But like, if you look on your Facebook page, especially after listening to this, all you're going to see is ads for it now. There's all these different dudes who are these buff guys who have gone through and done keto, the keto diet. And it's like for $29, you know, get our startup guide on how to do it. And I was like, okay, like what's sure. Let's spend $30. Let's get like at least, and they say, oh, we'll give you like a recipe guide, all this stuff and some introductory videos. So I'm like, okay, you know what? $30. I have spent far more and received way less in the past for certain things. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. Right. So
it was not a sex cult.
No, it was not a sex cult. So, but here's the hook.
Not for $30. It's like $40 for a sex cult.
Here's the hook. So I bought the introductory package for it, and it is legit. Like it's a legit business. Like they will give you the right resources, etc. But you pay the $30, right? And you get an email immediately with your welcome kit, and the recipe book is like three things, and it's like, if you want to purchase the full recipe book, it's an additional $10.99. And it's like, if you want to get these supplements, it's an additional $19.99. So I'm like, okay. So they hook you in the realistic, like,
so it's a money grab.
Yeah. They hook you in the realistic, like you'll get this for that much money, and you get some good resources. You get some videos you can watch. But it's just so involved, right? Like, whenever you're getting involved in any type of these, the keto diet, the Atkins diet, any of that type of stuff, like it's a commitment not only to eat that way, but to prepare food that way. Like it is not easy, especially if you have, you know, a family with kids and you have to like, either.
Well, that if you've had a lifetime of eating one way.
Right, right. And it's difficult. But the science behind it is actually really, really smart. And I did a lot of research on it as I was kind of like looking into it, and ultimately I chose not to do it. I did a lot of research on it, and it's a legitimate thing. Like, there are certain medical professionals that say it's actually a very healthy way to carry on. The downside is you have to do it forever. Like, that's, you can't back down. You have to do it.
Yeah, I used to do that diet called exercise.
Well, I mean, it's just that, like, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, I'll do it. Because like a lat kind of diet, you would think like, oh, I'll do it 5 days in a row where I won't eat sugar or carbs. And then like maybe on Saturday I'll have a pizza. No, you can't do that with keto. Like you can't.
There's no cheating.
No
cheat day.
That's what sucks about it.
Well, I know when I was reffing and I would do like, say, like 8-9 games in a weekend, some college youth games mixed in, I'd lose like 8 pounds.
Sure.
I mean, I'd lose literally 8 pounds. And then by the end of the week, I'd kind of slowly build back up again. But that's what kept the weight off.
And here's the attractive thing to keto, right? Or any other similar diets along that vein is that it amplifies the effects of eating and exercising the right way, right? So it gives you a boost, right? So like, because the keto diet, what it does is it tricks your body into what they call ketosis, right? So that is when your proteins are, your fat cells are being broken down and going into ketosis, which is the higher,
metabolism.
So Nick, you would actually would probably be a little bit more in line with this too, because diabetics are in fear of going into diabetic ketoacidosis, right? So it's breaking down the amino. I know an absurd amount about this just because of my former career, but, like kids with diabetes, they have to be careful because of, when the bodies are looking to break down sugars, they're breaking down the wrong things, and you get high levels of ketosis or keto acid or whatever it is, blah, blah, blah.
But so it almost sounds like Cobra Kai movie.
Yeah. but when you're pairing it with the right exercise regimen and the right foods that you're eating, scientifically, the keto diet is actually spot on, and it will actually change the way your body makeup works and how it burns fuel. But again, the biggest downside to it is that you're on it. You got to stay there. You can't wane. You can't jump off. And for anybody who has a family, it's great if you're living by yourself and you can manage your own stuff. But when you have a family, wife, kids, whatever, it's nearly impossible.
I don't want to eat this.
Right.
It's tough. I mean, I think I said last week I went up to like 192, 193. Basically, all I did was cut back on cookies and crap and fast food. And I've dropped another 8 or 9 pounds, and I'm not because I'm working out, but it's coming back off again.
Yeah, that's all. That's the same as me. Like I think I said that maybe not last episode, but one before, is that I was at 194, 195, and basically I cut down to one soda a day now, and I'm eating a lot smaller portions, and I'm already at like 188.
Yeah, it's just retraining yourself and I think like I tell people, I said don't try and just a pound a week.
Yeah.
Don't try and do like 10, you know, 5, 10, whatever it is, because you're going to get frustrated. Just pound a week here, pound there.
It's so weird.
Like, so for me, it's just the lack of not being able to exercise like I used to.
Right.
Like, it's so weird that you brought this up, Nick, because this is something that I've, over the last 48 hours, I've actually re-engaged, right? So not the keto diet, but it's funny. Like, I spent Father's Day at my brother's house, and you know, you get pictures taken and you with family, friends of people who are in good shape. And like, I got the pictures back or no, I got the pictures back. What am I, 1985? I saw the pictures minutes after
I went down the photo mat.
Yeah.
Got
right.
The pictures back. I'm it looking was at the great. Pictures, took I'm me like, a week.
God, I'm like, God damn, dude. Like
they gave me two prints.
I'm like, what happened to me? Like, I'm like shit. Oh, shoot. Like, shoot. I'm just like,
shoot, I'm not going to stop this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just like, shoot, man. Like, I don't look good. Like, I sure enough, I hopped in the scale, and I've said this before, but I get this way every once in a while, and I'll jump on the scale and look, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm literally the heaviest I've been in a long time. Like, now, oftentimes, I can hide it. You, I don't know, I carry it well, I guess. And people who look at me don't think I weigh as much as I do, but actually I weigh a good chunk of change. I weighed in at 237 the other day.
Wow, I wouldn't have thought that either.
Right? Yeah. Like
I would have said 240, but that's me.
Thanks, bud. Like again, I'm 6 feet tall. I'm just solid. Like I'm not like I don't have like a big beer gut or anything like that. I'm just like a solid.
It distributes.
Know. Yeah. I distribute it well. So I'm like, oh my goodness, and I've come to the realization, and this is another age thing. Like I don't burn calories anywhere nearly the way I used to. Like there's a time where I could do whatever the hell I wanted, right? And I would hover between, you know, 195 and 205, no problem. Like, and I'm 6 feet tall, which is still a little bit more than I should be. But I didn't have to do anything. I have to work at it. Like I would be active in a sense where I'd be like the things that I would do would be enough to burn the energy. And I was like, oh my God, I got to figure this out. Cause at this point I'm like, I went to tie my shoes the other day and I was like, oh, what is that feeling? Like, why
I'm not 100.
Like, what is that? Like, why did I just breathe heavy? I just tied my damn shoes. So I'm on this kick now, or I'm,
Was it sock shoe, or was it sock shoe?
I can't remember which one it was, but I did do that recently.
You know what? Because you passed out.
I did do that recently, and I remember I was in the middle, and I realized what I was doing. I kind of chuckled a little bit. I was like, I'm going to do it the wrong way, so I did the sock shoe.
You showed them.
So I'm 48 hours into managing my intake, and I'm using a really cool app called the Lose It app, and it's been around for a while. You might have heard of it. But over the last 2 days, I'm averaging under 400 calories ish under budget.
That's good.
Yeah. So, and like you said, Jack, you mentioned you shouldn't do it like all this one huge like lump. You got to like lose a pound a week,
because then it becomes easy.
Yeah, and that's actually the goal that I set for myself, to lose a pound a week, to hit my first goal that I want. And what the app does is cool. It actually gives you your budget based on your height, weight, age, the whole nine. So my calorie budget is 2,200 calories a day, and I've been under by 400 or 500 each day so far, 2 days.
That's good. I think if you really want to lose, just set it at 1,500 and you're good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, especially when you get older, it's harder to burn off. Like you said, burn off the calories. Because I know when I was, again, reffing, especially the college games, for me to keep up with those kids, I literally would go on the treadmill 4 or 5 times a week, work on the Bowflex. I was skating a lot, and I could keep up with them. I mean, it was hard. I mean, it was a lot of work. But if I wasn't doing that, but even then, I still wasn't burning off the calories that I used to. I mean, I used to lose a lot of weight when I'd rep all those games. I mean, I would be, my wife would go, here, eat. You look too skinny.
Right.
Like, you know, I was skinny. Of course, I was in my 20s and early 30s. But like, you know, when I did archaeology, I was always 170 pounds, 175 pounds. But I was outside.
People were digging you up when you were laying down. Well, hey, we found something.
Yeah. I mean, I was digging. Yeah. And a friend of mine, I want to move back, you know, to Tennessee or the South at some point, and really Eastern Tennessee or Western North Carolina. And a friend of mine was like, hey, like, there's a job opening up for what you do, exactly what you do at this place, if you want to apply to it. And I said, well, I was like, I don't want to be in a chair all day long. And I was like, that's what I'm doing right now. And I've gained 15 pounds because I'm sitting in a chair all day. I was like, I would like it. It's like, I don't mind taking a job, but I want some kind of guarantee that I can do some outdoor field work some of the months of the year. Then he's like, oh, I think this is just an all chair thing. I was like, it's okay. Because that's what I just want.
Can't you get one of those bouncy balls to sit on? Exercise balls.
Well, that's what, you know,
I've seen those videos.
The fad out here now is everyone is renovating their office spaces into standing desks.
Yeah.
Because you know, you can sit for an hour and then you can stand for an hour. And so it keeps you a little bit mobile and it's having some.
You mean something trendy results in California?
Yeah, never. California's never trendy.
All right.
But
there was someone saying that that if you sit at your job for 8 hours a day at a desk, it's actually as dangerous to your health as cancer. It was a quote that I recently saw.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at me in Comic-Con 2009, that was, like, the peak of me doing archaeological work. And you can see my arms. I actually have some definition of my arms. I have a little bit of a sun color because I was outside a lot. And I look healthy. Of course, I'm 28 at the time, too. But compared to now, it's like, oh, it's like, I'm not doing that anymore. And I kind of want to get back to where I'm, you know, with a shovel and digging and doing things and getting some just exercise.
Once you stop, it's hard to get back into it.
Yeah. My new, not new job, but then I moved locations. So where I work now, I was used to be in an indoor mall, right? Your traditional indoor mall. It just sucks.
All the food,
the amount of walking that you do is just to take the escalator up to the food court, right? And eat like crap.
Right.
But of which I always got a salad.
It was fried, but I got a salad.
I'm now in an outdoor lifestyle center, as they refer to it. So I can see the sunlight, which is nice. But also, if I'm on break or whatever, I just go outside to walk. It's nice. It's actually a nice little change.
That reminded me of when I was in India, because last January 2017, is that we were going to a wedding, my mom and I, and so they were providing the food for us all the time. And Americans are so spoiled in that breakfast, lunch, and dinner are very distinct meals. They're different. India, you basically eat the same thing over and over and over again. And after about 3 to 4 days, mom finally snapped. You know, she's like, can we go somewhere, please, to eat something different? You know, and like, so we got an Uber and we went to the mall, and in the food court there was a McDonald's. And so mom was like, oh my God, yes, there's a McDonald's. And you get there and you totally forget as an American that you don't eat beef in India. It's illegal. So you get up there and you're like, no.
Sorry, mom. It's the same thing here.
Yeah. It's like you can have a chicken sandwich or a chicken sandwich. And you're just like,
that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Or
did you see the video?
What? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say there was a video out today, and it's pretty tragic. This guy, I think it's India. They have this mom's. He's a pallbearer and his mom's, and they're going up some handmade wooden ladder type thing. They're carrying her up to take her to the top.
Huh.
The ladder collapses. The casket comes down and crushes and kills the son.
Oh,
I mean, I didn't realize that they were going to show it, even though if I would have read it beforehand, it's a graphic. I said, oh, how bad could it be? But you don't actually see the son. You just know that he's at the bottom of this pile, and the casket comes down and kills him. I said, God, that's just terrible. Just sad. I mean, it's just only because you were talking about India did it.
Yeah. Did it
click, but I was like, oh my God, that's just horrible.
That's awful.
It's terrible. I mean, but you see the ladder, you're like going, what were they thinking? Because it was just some flimsy bamboo type thing that they were carrying up the thing. And it was just too many of them on it, and it gave way.
You guys go ever. I mean, I highly recommend it. Go to India, go to Southeast Asia. You will see so many things that
people would flip their lids.
I watched Amazing Race. Yeah. It's just like, you know, when you see a tuk-tuk or a rickshaw.
Yeah.
Or
when they all jump on the train.
Like, yeah. And it's like 10 people on that, or like the train exactly. And there's like 100 people in one car. And you're like, oh my God. Like, how do you get on that thing? And that's what she said, but
you better hold on.
But it's just because it's just so obtuse to us, you know. And like, you know, people in LA or New York or even probably Boston, like, you know, you complain about traffic, and you like you go to Delhi, and you're like, I will never complain about LA traffic in my life again, you know, because it's nothing. It's nothing. Because like we will sit through what 2-3 miles of traffic, and that ruins our day. Try like 20 miles of traffic. And you're
I have days of ruin. I haven't been in traffic in a long time.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. It just irritates me to no end. And that's what it would kill me being on the Amazing Race. Yeah. Why is it not moving? It's just crazy.
Boston was recently rated the worst traffic in the country.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's something to be proud of. It's a good thing you don't live there.
At least you went something.
Well done, Jack.
Well, I have a funny story to tell. It's not really funny, but my wife and I were driving to get, she had to get some we're having my daughter's have my oldest daughter's having a baby in a couple months, and so we're having the baby shower here. And so my wife, to save money, has been doing some things, her own crafts and stuff like this. She did this one thing that ended up probably costing $80. If she just would have bought it, would have been $30. But I had to say, hey, it looks good. Looks good. Hmm. She just kept running out of ink. I said, would it have been cheaper to buy it?
You don't say that, Jack.
I said it, but I said it in a joking way. But this one looks better than the one you would have bought. But anyway, so we're driving, get these she had these thank you cards that she's designed and stuff like that, which are great. But we're driving there, and we live on a golf course, and there's a driving range, and they don't have a net on one side. Ooh. The side where the traffic is, they don't have a net.
And why would you not have a net where the side?
I've been saying this for the longest time. We've been living here 16 years. I go, I can't believe cars don't get hit driving this way, or people walking, or well, today my car got hit.
Ugh.
I look up and I said, damn,
this is a Lexus.
Yeah, and it got hit. It gets hit. I pull over, and my wife goes, she goes, don't you go cause any problems. I go, which cracks me up. It takes me like 10 minutes to get out of the car. Who am I going to go beat up?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But I'm looking for damage. If damage, they're going to pay for it. Someone at the driving range is going to pay for it. But it just left marks, like rubber marks, whatever's on the golf ball. On it didn't scratch, it didn't dent it. But if it hit the windshield or the window, jogging by, I go, what if it hits one of them? It could kill somebody.
Yeah.
I go, there really should be a net up. And then I'm thinking, and then there was four people there. And Cindy goes, why are you staring at him? I go, you know, one of them did it. I go, it was a terrible, I mean, it was, she goes, was it a slice? I go, no, a slice would have gone to the left. I go, the right.
Well, it depends if you're like right or your left.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I go, this was a pull, a bad one. I go, I don't know how you get it. It was
a hook.
Yeah. I'm thinking baseball where you pull it, but I go, it was terrible, but no one would look up.
It was Jay.
She goes, yeah.
I missed like half of that story. And all I could think of was the ball hitting. And then Jack going, this is a Lexus.
This is a Lexus.
He hit my Lexus.
My grandson does more damage to the car than the golf ball did, but I go, what if that would have hit my window? Would have shattered the window. I go, why? And that just brought me back to, why is there no net?
Yeah.
Why is there no net?
Just poor design on the range.
It's my wife. It's just get in the car before you cause any problems. I go, I'm not yelling at anybody. I go, first, I'm seeing there's something wrong with my car. Hmm. I go, second, I was hoping one would turn around. Hey, sorry, that was me.
Oh, no. No one will ever own up to something like that. Then they didn't owe you money.
But there was no damage to the car. I mean, it was just like, I mean, just. Well, because it's a Lexus, it's not a piece of crap. So,
I think you're fully in the right to actually, even if you wanted to, cause some SH. You know, you're in your right to be angry with that establishment for not protecting. I have practiced at many a driving range, and trust me, I need the practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I've never been to a driving range that is near a road that doesn't have a net.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's probably some stupid town ordinance that you guys have, or the neighborhood ordinance, where they probably don't want to have like a net structure being held up to take away from the
I agree, but it slopes down, but it came flying. It just messed the window by a foot and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
If we would have been like a second later or maybe sooner, it probably would have hit the window.
Which and is cool. And, as I said, one of the cool things in Massachusetts, though, is that in Massachusetts, with your car insurance, glass is a no deductible free replacement.
Nice.
Well, there was no way I was going to pay for it. No way. Someone was going to pay, and that there'd be a lawsuit because there's no net there.
That's how
I'd sue. I'd sue. And then the other side, there's a tree fell on the other side.
Did anybody hear it?
And took the other net down. It's still down.
You should be on the board of tourism for Raleigh, Jack.
I should, because I am the spokesman for everything that's great in Raleigh.
He would be the worst tour guide for Raleigh, because he would somehow divulge it into something from San Diego. Yeah. He'd be like, this here is the world's tallest brick building, but you know what? Built by a guy from San Diego, you know.
Here's that building I used to work at. It was a really cool ice rink until they fired me.
Oh. Brutal.
They fired us, but they keep calling us, asking us, hey, do you know what happened? Anyway, that's all right.
Hey, so random change of subject. Have we got any requests from our listeners about what our next show should be? Did we put that poll up?
Well, you tried to put the poll up. I tried to put the poll up, and there's something wrong with Facebook that won't allow us to post the poll.
So maybe we'll just put a post on the page of just like, hey, throw your ideas down here.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
They make pills for that, guys, so the poll isn't going up.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't working for me either. So
yeah. So for those,
I'm over and have an excuse.
For those of you guys who are paying attention, we talked last episode about we want to find out what the next choice of TV show, series, or movie that we should watch and give you our review. The last one we did was Evil Genius, which seemed to actually have gotten some interest on our page. I know Dennis had mentioned that even though we did kind of have some pretty heavy spoilers during that review, that he is looking forward to watching the series. I have a potential suggestion I'll throw out there, but ultimately this is the listener's choice. I was bored the other night, and I was flipping through HBO after I watched this week's Westworld. And HBO has a new show out right now called Succession.
Actually going to bring this up.
Yeah. So I checked out the pilot episode, and I fell asleep last night watching the second episode, not because of the content, but because I was exhausted. Uh-huh. I like what I'm seeing. Like, I think what's his name? What's the main actor's name there? The old guy.
He's in Troy. He's in
Cox. Brian Cox.
Yeah.
I love him.
He played for the Patriots, didn't he? Brian Cox.
Yeah. He was also the chief of Sperbury Police, but
he was.
I've been watching. I watched the first couple episodes. It is.
Is it a dramedy or is it? Is it?
It's a not, drama.
Okay. A drama. Okay.
It is a drama, Jack. I brought it up after the fact of last episode that I meant to bring it up last episode. I forgot. It's exactly what you think it would be, as in a father who built a company from the ground up and his spoiled kids. You know, and that's exactly what it is.
Some pretty scary parallels.
Yeah. Exactly. There is in the second episode, I felt was not directed very well. It is good, but there's some scenes that I felt didn't have the impact, that because I could look at it and I could see that whoever wrote it wrote certain scenes to have this feel to it. But there's a baseball scene in it, Chris, and you'll see it when you watch it.
Yeah, I got to that scene.
Okay. That, like, what happens to the kid, I felt that should have been a much
bigger deal.
Yeah, bigger deal. Yeah. Especially when the lawyer goes up to the kid afterwards. Like, that should have been a much bigger impact of like how much of pricks these people are, and they didn't show it.
Maybe I did get through season episode 2. I think I fell asleep during episode 3 because I saw that in the entirety of that episode.
Okay. So yeah,
how many episodes have there been three episodes?
Three.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna give it a shot tonight.
Yeah.
It's so weird because the main character, Kendall, I think his name is.
Yeah, the main son.
Yeah, he looks exactly like a kid I went to high school with, and I can't get it out of my head, which is crazy. And Cameron Frye is in it, which is
weird. Oh, yeah, he is. I know.
His character is just funny. But it's cool because, you know, the gist of the story is that, you know, you have, as Nick was mentioning, the spoiled kids, but it's the difference of all the kids, the how these kids were raised and what their expectations are with life. And just when you think you're getting to know a character, it's like, whoa, what a dick.
That's actually the takeaway you take away from a lot of things. Is like, what a dick.
Yeah. Is this the title? Is this the title of the episode?
What a Richard.
What a dick. What a Richard. I write it down.
What a little Richard.
What a little Richard. But it's interesting. So I every show that I've ever really fallen in love with, I've fallen in love with it because of the characters.
Yeah.
And I can see how this could potentially be a show that will fall in line with that. Like I think that the characters are, each of them are so unique, but they're all tied into the same thing, which I think is really cool. Jack, it's a recommend. I recommend that if even as an aside from what our listeners may recommend, I know that they've been asking us to look at series and so forth and so on.
We've been focusing on Netflix shows.
True. Yeah, and I was actually given a recommendation for a Netflix show today. I forgot the name of it. I'm doing a quick Google search, and I believe it's called
Staircase.
The Staircase. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's another crime thing.
Oh, okay. I believe.
Well, these are some ideas for you guys out there listening to give us your recommendation, what you want us to give a review on. But yeah.
Yeah. This third episode, though, of what's it called again?
Successors.
Succession.
Succession.
Is that, you know, the main kid?
I don't watch it. I don't know.
The main kid who's, you know, supposed to be taking over for Brian Cox's position. Like, this one was such an interesting character study of a really conflicted guy. And there's a scene in it where actually there's two really good things that happen with his character of just, he doesn't know how to play people, you know, the way a successful businessman is. And so he looks at the blonde, like, secretary that's helped her dad, you know, the whole time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how do I do this? Do I come off with a guy who's got balls, or do I come off with like the good guy? And she's like, I don't know, just go. And like, you see it, like the whole first part of the conversation, he's like the good guy. And then all of a sudden he just like throws out a big, like, oh, go F yourself, you know? And like, right. It's just a pause on the phone. And the guy's just like, okay, kid, you know, like, and it's just,
yeah.
And you just see this conflict within him of like, I don't know how to come across as a strong businessman, but also stay a human being.
So he's playing good cop, bad cop with the same.
Yeah.
In his own mind.
Yeah.
And there's this like this rogue character that I'm not quite sure where he fits in, if at all, for just the cousin? Throwaway.
Yeah. Dude. I love the cousin. Like, yeah. Like,
you get introduced to this character because he's ripping weed out of his one hitter on his car right before he goes into like his job orientation to be a mascot at a amusement park.
Yeah.
And then he gets sick and just boots inside the inside the mascot's helmet, and just got puke spraying out of his eyes. And you got this kid in the corner going, oh, he's puking out of his eyes. I'm like, what is going on with this guy? But either way, interesting show. I'm curious to see where it's going to go. I think it could be the next hit.
I mean, they're all interesting characters, though, because like, even is it Siv, the daughter? Like, her, even her husband slash fiance, or fiance slash boyfriend, is even interesting because like, he's such a kiss ass.
Yes.
To the dad and everyone else, but then to the cousin, he's like, don't mess with me. You know, he's like that strong.
What's crazy about that, Nick, you're so right, is because I didn't realize until the third episode that they were the same person.
Yeah.
Like, that's how crazy these characters are. Mm-hmm. Is that like, okay, I think I officially like this show. Now that we're talking about it,
I'm sold.
Like, I think I'm sold on it because it's crazy that dude is the same guy with the same watch. Guy. It's just like, what?
Yeah. Succession. I love that. I wasn't sure if you watched the third episode, but I love it though when the cousin comes in for his job. You know, and he's basically stealing biscuits or cookies from the communal kitchen in an office that you would. And he comes in, the guy who's the brother-in-law, whatever, he's just like, he says something to him. He's like, are we sailing? Are we on the dock? am I wearing a skipper? You know, it's like, he's like, why are you wearing freaking boat shoes to a meeting? You know, something only a true prick would say, you know, it's like, who would notice that the kid is wearing freaking dock shoes? You
know? Oh, and as an aside too, Macaulay Culkin's brother is in the show.
Yeah.
Who is another interesting character.
Yeah, very interesting character. Yeah.
So anyways, here's our recommendation for the listeners. Go watch Succession and tell us what you think.
Well, it's funny. I've been watching the previews because they've been shown before Westworld.
Right.
I didn't see anybody talking about
right
it.
After Westworld, yeah.
I didn't hear anybody talking about it. So I said, oh, it must not be any good. But now I'm sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, check it out. I really don't want to say anything else more. We've already spoiled it enough as it is. But like,
yeah. I'm just going to start with episode 4.
But yeah, I like it. I'm going to keep watching it. Because like the other show, there's the one on, I said it like, I'm not sure if I said it privately on the show, but there was a show on Stars or Showtime called Sweet Bitter, and that one, like after 2 episodes, like this show's terrible. You know, like you'd like to root for things, but you're just like, this is not that good. You know, you always wonder like who greenlights these things to make money. I mean, you know, puts money into it.
Well, right. I know there was a show. I think of Stars or Showtime with it was Roadies or something like that.
Roadies, yeah, it had and such potential, and it just
I got to like the second or third episode. I go, all right, this just isn't working for me.
Yeah, because like, I used to have a lot of respect for Cameron Crowe, because that is right up his alley because he wrote a lot of those episodes because that's his life on the road. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
Almost famous.
Yeah, exactly, because it's back to what he knows, Cameron Crowe doing music. And there is some episodes that were good, and there's some that are like, this is completely pointless.
You want to root for him because he's from San Diego.
Okay.
Right.
Here we go.
There you go.
Yeah, but it got canceled after one season, so...
I didn't finish it. I just said I can't. I mean, I liked the actors. It was what's a Wilson? Not Owen Wilson. Wilson
Luke
Wilson, and had the girl that's in that. She's in a lot of stuff, but I just it was terrible. I couldn't finish it, and I hate that. It's like I think I don't know if it just had too many characters or.
I think the show didn't know what it wanted to be.
Because
if they would have kept it to, because I mean, think about it, the Luke Wilson and the main girl, or like the whole, are they going to get together? Are they getting together? And then you had like the groupie thing, and then you had the girl who just loves the music, and then you had the kid who used to be a roadie for Pearl Jam, and now he's a roadie for this band, and then you had the tour manager who had been there since Leonard Skinner in the 70s, and you just had too many things going on at one time, and too many stories where like you didn't really attached to a character.
Well, that's a problem with a show like that. If you can have two good storylines. I used this on, it must have been some podcast we were doing. It might have been this one. I don't know. But Caprica.
Caprica.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
One of the stories I loved.
Yeah.
But the modern day story was boring.
Mm-hmm.
Or the pre story, whatever it was, the real life story, the one where they were in the, where she was in another world, that was fascinating. The other part was just boring.
Yeah. I just couldn't stand it. Was it Eric Stoltz was in that show?
Eric Stoltz, yeah.
I can't stand him.
I loved him in Fast Time at Ridgemont High.
I liked him as Marty McFly.
Marty McFly, right?
Yeah, he was great as Marty McFly. Yeah. He was Spicoli's friend in Fast Time at Ridgemont High.
That's right.
Yeah, he was in a couple of good ones, though, like Memphis Belle.
Memphis Belle's excellent movie.
Yeah.
A lot of people haven't seen that movie, but they should.
Oh, they should. Yeah, like two of the best underappreciated World War II movies came out roughly at the same time. You have Memphis Belle and the Tuskegee Airmen that both came out in the early 90s are both
excellent.
Awesome movies. Way better than Red Tails that came out that Lucas did. Like,
Red Tails was boring.
It was so bad. Yeah, like, but Tuskegee Airmen has I mean, you have Lawrence Fishburne, Cuba Gooding Jr. It's basically except from Denzel Washington, you have basically every famous black male actor ever in that movie.
It's a good movie. Excellent.
Yeah.
And Memphis Belle. Excellent.
Memphis Belle. Yeah, it's a great movie. I mean, I love the air parts of War too, though. I think because everyone always shows combat and all that, but like, you know, if you can show a good air battle, and that's even with Dunkirk, my favorite stuff was all the flying stuff. I loved all that.
Yeah, Cindy didn't like Dunkirk.
The flying scenes of Dunkirk were bananas.
Yeah.
That was awesome because that gave you like the real feel. I've never felt more like a fighter pilot in any like or those movies than I did when watching Dunkirk.
I did when Snoopy would fight the Red Baron. I really felt into that.
But. That was always my favorite thing with Snoopy with anything Peanuts was always the Red Baron.
Now with who's the pilot in the movie that was running out of fuel in Dunkirk?
Bane.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay,
Bane. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, he was also in Band of Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I know. Yep. He dies. I'm sorry. Spoilers.
Ah, spoiler.
He plays Janovich.
It's funny because like you look at
Don't salute the Germans.
Yeah, exactly. You go back and watch Band of Brothers now. That should be one of my trivia questions for you guys. Like what
Oh, it's a who's who.
Name all the current Marvel superheroes that are or just superheroes that are in Band of Brothers.
So many.
Well, you got Apollo from BSG's in it.
Yep. Hawkeye's in it, right?
Hawkeye is not in Brothers.
What am I thinking?
You have Magneto's in it. You have Xavier's in it.
Magneto, dude.
And it's mostly all the British actors.
It's all the British actors, yeah.
Wait, is Band of Brothers the one where he's shooting the sniper from the water fountain under all the dead bodies?
No, that's Enemy at the Gates.
Enemy at the Gates. That's Magneto, right?
No, that's Jude Law.
Law's not in Band of Brothers.
Jude Law, though, is going to be in the new Harry Potter film. That's not
interesting.
Really Harry Potter. It's Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, fascinating.
I do like Enemy of the Gates, though. That's another movie that doesn't get a lot of good credit because
I don't think I've seen
playing the German sniper and
dude, that scene is so intense.
I don't think I've seen Enemy at the Gates.
Oh yeah, it came out in like 2001, 2000. Like that. Jude Law's very first lead actor. Part because he'd always done side stuff until then, and I mean it's not a classic. Like you're not going to be like, oh my god, it's so good, you've got to go watch it. But it's a solid like B plus A minus movie. It's just a
was Ed Harris old looking in this movie?
No, I mean it was 18 years ago or so. So, okay,
all right.
But it's a good one.
I'll tell you that one scene is probably the iconic scene. Whenever you see like any replays of it or whatever, that's like the keynote scene where. Like, to kind of shape it up for you, Jack. Like, so Jude Law is behind enemy lines, essentially, right? And he's what was the forces he was attacking at that point? The Germans.
It's the Battle of Stalingrad.
Okay, Battle of Stalingrad. So Jude Law's character is like they just got like wiped out, and he's playing dead, right? In like a well, like a wishing well, like in a town center.
Fountain. Yeah.
The fountain.
That's early in the film. Yeah.
Yeah. In a fountain, like in the center of a town, obviously the fountain's not working, but it's just littered with dead bodies and he's playing dead. And he has like an inch to like look through a crack or whatever it is and to see what's going on. And I'm not going to spoil what happens, but it's just such like this like, I felt like I was playing a video game when I was watching that scene.
It's very video game-esque. Yeah.
And it's actually really, really incredible. It's a very, very cool scene.
The same thing is later when he actually is a sniper and mm-hmm. the whole factory scene of him trying to find Ed Harris and the Germans are bombing the building while he's trying to shoot Ed Harris. You're just like, oh my God, like the intensity, is that the word? You're like,
yeah.
Of just imagine being in a building where you're trying, you know, if you move, you're going to get a bullet through the head, but then also at the same time, people are from the air bombing the building you're in. It's just, yeah, it's a good movie.
All right. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
I will give it a shot.
There you go. We got lots of media suggestions today.
Yeah, we're on fire here.
On fuego.
Well, I still find it hard. People have not seen Band of Brothers. I go, come on, people.
You know, it's funny because, like, I know Jack, you and I have talked about this before. Like, Band of Brothers is a 10 out of 10. It's so good.
It's
and then
perfect.
And then 10 years later, The Pacific, which has its moments of greatness, but then it's one of those shows that, like, if Band of Brothers is on, I'm watching it. But if The Pacific comes on, I'm like, eh.
I'll catch an episode, wherever it's on that night, whatever, no big deal.
Unfortunately, it didn't have the same you weren't invested in the characters.
Exactly. You
know, these characters are real. We're talking about it. But Band of Brothers did such a great job of when they were talking to the actual veterans.
Mm.
And you're getting their story. And then at the end, you find out who they actually are. I mean, to this day, I tear up when I'm when they're tearing up, like when I'm drawing a blank on his name, main guy, made it all the way to major.
Winters,
when he's telling that story at the end about heroes, and I tear up every time. My wife goes, "Are you crying?" I go, "No." She goes, "You know it's going to come." I go, "I know." But
dude, that shows the score to that show.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Oh, so good. And you hear that every time you're watching an episode, you hear that intro. It's just like,
My wife always said.
I learned something really interesting about Saving Private Ryan, though. Like, it's just a little tidbit. But it's just one of those things. Like, you remember the first 25 minutes of it, when they finally get past the bunkers and the two guys, the Germans that come up and say, "Don't shoot," and they shoot them anyway. And then the guy that makes that smart ass comment is like, "Look, I washed for dinner." If you actually know Polish, they say, "Don't shoot me, I'm Polish." And you're like, "Oh my God, they shot those guys." And it's just heartbreaking. The fact that like, they weren't there by voluntarily means, like they were forced to be there and then they got shot.
Well, it's interesting. The actual real downer is think of how much that actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I mean, you watch the scenes and it's supposed to be pretty realistic and these guys are getting killed before they even get out of their little boats. I mean, it's a shooting. I mean, they sent those guys into battle knowing that many were not coming back.
Yeah.
It was just, all right, we got the numbers. We're eventually going to wear them out. I mean, that's just, I couldn't send people into battle that way. Yeah. I can only send people, okay, you got a sporting chance. That's what would make me a lousy general. Okay, I can only send you to battle because you got a sporting chance to survive. But just knowing that half you people on this side are probably going to die.
Well, that's a theme that Dunkirk. I mean, I shouldn't say the movie stole, but like the movie also of Dunkirk really portrayed really, really, really well. Is that it was just that feeling of desperation, right? Because you keep going back and forth, and you hear the dialogue between the British, commanders or whoever I don't know who they were, but. They're talking on the beach in front of these like 50,000 troops that are on the beach, right?
Who are waiting for a boat.
And they're literally saying that group's going to die. They're not going to live. They might live. These guys are coming with us. That's all we're going to do. Like, it's just amazing that those decisions were being made.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And similar to the U-boat scene in Saving Private Ryan, you had the dock scene, right, from Dunkirk, which is just like, oh my God. Or actually even the scene even before that, when the guy's trying to break free and he is getting shot and his buddies get shot and he has to hide behind the bunker and he runs and he gets behind. There's this huge battle of people following him through the town trying to get free and then having to pretend that he wasn't French, right? Like,
right,
just all of that was just incredible.
I watched a short the other day and I now really regret not sending you guys the link because I couldn't find it again if you put a gun to my head. But it's a short film. I'm not sure who made it. It is a European short. And it's basically kind of like what I was talking about earlier, is like you have two guys that are not German at D-Day who are just sitting up on the ground. And then the first planes come over to bomb the area and they're freaking out. And then, of course, a German grabs them and then throws them in one of the pillboxes with the machine guns and then completely locks the door behind them. So they have no choice but to be in that pillbox and fire the machine guns to stay alive. And you just see them as, you know, firing these machine guns as all these Americans are coming at them. And then finally, when they run out of ammo, they just are just beating the door, trying to get out to stay alive. And it's like, oh my, and you know, and for the first time, you're actually rooting for Germans because you don't want them to die, which is like, right. Oh my God. And it's like, it's
crazy.
It was a great little short of like, wow, war from a different perspective. And you said submarines that reminded me, you have seen Das Boot, haven't you, Chris? You really need to watch Das Boot.
Came out Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, sorry, I'm muted. You saw my head shake my head. No. I have not seen it.
Das Boot is like 1980 or 81, 82. It's a very long, but unbelievably good submarine movie. It is the submarine movie. It's the only one you ever need to watch. Anyone out there?
The Hunt for Red October.
Different kind of submarine movie, but Das Boot is superb.
Okay. All right.
As in D-A-S.
Volkan Peterson.
Yeah. D-A-S-B-O-O-T.
Yeah, what about Gray now? So we have...
What about Gray Lady Down? Charlton Heston filmed in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. I was older. Yeah.
Roger Ebert gives it a perfect score.
Yeah.
Was that Daniel Day-Lewis?
No.
No?
That's way before
what,
Daniel.
What am I thinking?
There's
somebody in it. It's a foreign film, right?
German
film, yeah.
Trying to think of, I'm looking at the cast right now. See,
I saw it on HBO.
There's only one famous person in it that I can think of that you would know if you saw his face. And it's the main guy, who's the captain.
Hans Krimler.
Jürgen Prochow.
I don't know his name, but I just know his face. He's been in lots of things.
He was in Dune.
Dune, yeah.
There you go.
Well, don't hold that against him.
Awesome. He's also in 24. Interesting. Hmm. Cool. All right. Das Boot it is. I will watch that.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's a good one. I mean, it's a good, it's a long movie, but it's a good, just what it's like to be on a U-boat. It's a good movie.
Oh, yeah. 2.5 hours, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it 2.5? I think there's a director's cut, though, that's actually longer than that.
A lot of people wouldn't go on a submarine. Would you guys go on a submarine?
Nope.
I'm too tall to be on a submarine.
I would never do it.
I would do it.
All right, we're going to get political for a second here. I actually got claustrophobic today, and I don't mean for this to turn into a political discussion, but I have to reference a political issue. So we've seen all over the news and all over political Facebook groups that we might have in our network about the unfortunate circumstance of these kids being taken away from their families, right?
Right.
Awful situation, but we're going to skip past that for a second because I actually got claustrophobic today thinking about it. I was watching the videos of like these of these families and these kids who are just being put behind chain link fences, right? I can't even imagine. I would flip out if I was behind that fence. I would absolutely flip out if I was in that room of just of the, you know, the whatever you want to call them, camps. I don't even know what the hell they're calling them, but like I couldn't imagine being in a 100-foot by 100-foot fenced in area. I would lose my mind.
What keeps me from going to prison?
Right. And
seriously.
So I mean, going even on of a smaller scale, I could never ever be in a submarine. I would go bananas.
I think I could do it. I as long as I could run around and walk my dog like Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, what you don't realize is that there's so many comforts that we're used to. Like imagine being on a submarine though, especially in like World War II or Korea or something like that, to where there's basically three shifts in the day, or two shifts, I think it's two, where you shower once a week, if that. You're eating the same thing over and over again. And
we know your mom couldn't handle it.
Yeah, but couldn't handle it, not at all. And, when you're off duty, you're crawling in the same rack that some guy just got out of, and those sheets are never washed. You're sleeping in some other guy's filth. I mean, and you're breathing in the same recycled air over and over and over again.
So are you trying to make the recruiting process for the
Well, it's different now. You know, the atomic, the nuclear submarines are much bigger and much more spacious. But, you know, I'm talking about the old diesels. You
know. Oh, and great. Thanks. So I'm actually reading the tagline of this movie. It is the claustrophobic world of a World War II German boredom, filth, and sheer terror.
What about the Civil War type submarines they had?
Oh, my God. The Henley?
Yeah.
No, sir. I mean, those guys died.
Yeah. How about Desmond's submarine? Not Desmond.
Don't think I know that one. Yeah.
No, from Lost.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Oh, the submarine that didn't really go anywhere.
Right.
Okay.
Which I have one of two. Armor jumpsuits.
Nice.
I know Jack's saying. I thought Chris had seen it too. Maybe not. But yeah, like, I mean, I'm telling you, Chris, like, anyone out there who's not seen Das Boot, do yourself a favor and watch Das Boot. If you like if you like war films, you will
love
this movie.
Chris, you might want to watch it in open space.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Find a drive-in that has it playing somewhere. Do you have any drive-ins in your area?
I do. Yeah, you do? About 10 minutes away.
Nice.
I was thinking about taking Emma to go see The Incredibles, actually.
Everyone I know who's seen Incredibles 2 has said it's really, really good.
I've heard the same. Yeah, yeah. Check it out. I haven't seen Incredibles 1 since
it came out. I wasn't going to say it.
Like, I've seen bits and pieces. I probably was sitting in somewhere stoned watching it at one point. Like,
That's the family in that wears red.
I don't remember as a whole movie, so I should probably watch that too, and then go. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Watch Us Boat and then The Incredibles.
Okay,
I think that's the order you should watch.
Lineup. Yeah, it's a double feature right there. If I've ever heard one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jack's got two War II films to watch.
I've seen Dust Boat.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
I haven't.
He hasn't seen Enemy of the Gates.
Yeah.
Oh, that's number one.
I haven't seen Enemy of the Gates.
Enemy of the Gates, but I'm just like, you didn't really admit that you had seen Dust Boot. So
I was I saw it. I think I didn't see it in theater. I think I saw it on HBO.
Okay.
Da da da. It was probably so long that they had. That's when they used to do the intermission.
Intermissions. The only movie I've ever seen in theaters that had intermission was Braveheart. That was the only one I can remember.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Wait, did Watchmen have an intermission?
It should have, but it didn't.
I think it did.
Okay.
At least, maybe I'm making that up. I have no idea. Anyways, so Nick, question.
Mm-hmm.
Director's cut or non-director's cut?
I would say director's cut because that's the one I own and I watch.
Okay.
And, you know.
Is it accessible?
What do you mean? As in
watch?
Yeah.
I haven't been on the Captain Nefarious ship in a while. I'm trying to think of where I can watch it. I'll figure it out.
It's not on Netflix or Hulu or anything like that.
But you know, any submarine movie since then always copies some. Like, you know, if you watch was the one with Matthew McConaughey, you know, U-571.
Right, yeah.
That movie copies so much from so many submarine movies, and you're just like,
Oh, so the director's cut is the two and a half hour version. Looks like the original cut's 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Yeah, so just watch the director's cut then. Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Yeah, don't cheapen yourself.
No. All right, cool.
Go the distance.
Always go with the director's cut.
If I stream it, it will come.
Another good movie. Yeah, like all the Sandlot guys were at Dodger Stadium.
Cool.
Was it Sunday or Saturday? But yeah, like one of them posted up a Instagram video of all them in the infield. And I was like, oh my God, look at them. Because, you know, they're all our age, Chris. And you're just like, like, look how old you guys are.
so many lines you can't say anymore.
I know.
You play ball like not a person that plays ball.
You know, it's funny because the broadcast actually talked about that like two episodes ago where because Amanda, I'm pretty sure it was Amanda, said that she loves The Sandlot. Even though it has a lot of that stuff in it, she goes, I don't care. She's like, I love that movie. And, you know, of course, then they got into the whole, you know, like that, the political correctness of it. But yeah, exactly.
I still use that line. I'm old and I just use the I'm old. Because I'll use it. I go. You play ball like a girl.
It's just funny though, but like because they talk about that. Like someone was saying that. Like they heard.
And it. I know it's wrong. So don't send your hate mail. I know it's wrong, but it's not the line. It's the reaction of the kid.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in there where he's run, where he gets up there when they, if they first ride in, he has his catcher's mitt. He gets mad. He goes like to throw it on the ground, but he throws it back and another kid catches it. And he's kind of like shocked it came back to him. I always wonder if that was planned or did they just keep rolling with it? He watched the scene.
He goes
to throw his glove down and he throws it, but it doesn't hit the ground. He goes back and another kid behind him, like little blonde hair kid, I think, catches the glove and is kind of like shocked by it. But they just keep going on with the scene. And people always go, what are you talking about? I go, you have to watch the movie closely.
Yeah.
If you're going to send your hate mail to Jack for anything insensitive, you should do it because he called Jay a girl for most of his life.
No, his call him a cement head.
Oh, that too.
Cement head and a dork.
I'm just messing.
Well, I used to do what I was reffing. Because we had girls and boys, you know, playing. So I said, all right, guys, let's get up here. And they look, we're girls. I go, oh, that's right. And the guys would come up. All right, ladies, let's go. Work. And they just thought it was funny. But I guess now you can't do that. But it was just.
Let's go, Jughead.
Yeah. It's just having some fun with them. Yeah. Keeping the game light.
Another director's cut that you guys, we've already brought it up once before. If you haven't seen that, Jack, you should watch the bootleg copy of Almost Famous, which is a lot longer film. And it's way better. Because there's a lot more.
I didn't even know there was a bootleg.
Yeah, it's called Almost Famous, the bootleg cut, and I forget how long it is, but it's a lot more stuff to it.
Is there more scenes in San Diego?
I don't know about that.
Okay, that's because that's.
But yeah.
Well, in other news, I just bought Das Boot.
Oh, nice. You didn't have to buy it.
Through jandjack.com/Amazon, I bought it for $10.
Yeah. Most of them it's pretty cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I got the director's cut for $10. And it looks like, Nick, here's a stunning twist. I believe the director's cut is shorter.
No.
Does that make sense?
Usually the director's cut's always longer.
It's longer because it's director's cut because he's had to cut out parts that.
I get it. But I think. Hold on. Let me look at this.
Oh, he downloaded the wrong one.
No, I bought a physical disc.
Yeah, it's in here.
Because you can't download it anywhere. I mean, you can download it, but I don't think you can stream the director's cut. I think you have to buy the disc.
What century are we in? You can't just stream it.
Well, it's an old movie.
It's like, here's this is what it looks like.
209 minutes, director's cut.
Is this what it looks
das
like?
Boat. I think you got DOS ripped off.
It means the boat.
Yeah, well, it's on its way.
Does this what it look like, Chris?
Hold on. I could stream it for... Show me again. Yeah, that's the one I bought.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I could stream it for $4 or buy it for $10. I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Why not? In fairness, well, it's the first physical media I've purchased in like 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to play it in.
It's got like when Stranger Things season one came out, and it came out on a limited edition VHS tape box set. I went, I've got to buy it just because I want the packaging. Yeah. Sorry.
Wait, Stranger Things came out in VHS?
No, it came out on Blu-ray, but the box it comes in is a VHS tape.
Oh,
like it looks like a VHS. Okay, so you pull it out of the bottom, and then all the discs are in there. I can show it to you.
I said, man, did we go back in time?
I'll have it on Friday. Perfect.
All right. Good movie for the weekend.
I'm going to another concert this week. I'm actually going to see Dave Matthews on Friday.
Dave Matthews.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about Dave Matthews, but
I wasn't going to say anything.
It's always a fun show, you know.
Yeah, like the thing is that like when I in the 90s, late 90s and early 2000s, I was a Widespread Panic Fish guy. Always was. And then you always had the Dave Matthews crowd. And
you said a Panic Fish?
Widespread Panic.
Yeah, okay. Widespread Panic, which is a Southern jam band, which is more like Jack, like Doobie Brothers-esque, very Grateful Dead. And then you have Fish, which is more spacey, Frank Zappa-like kind of jamming, which is basically just an excuse to take a lot of drugs and go listen to music.
Yep.
And then you have Dave Matthews, which is more commercial, but still he did jam. And most of my friends that listen to Panic and Fish constantly ripped on Dave Matthews fans because we were like, you're those yuppies. You're the future yuppies that drive your BMW to the Dave Matthews Band concert and then go like, I'm a hippie. And like, but that's just us. That was our biased opinion.
It's so true though. And yeah. I'm not calling myself a yuppie, but yeah. I will say though that they've changed. They have not actually changed. Actually the scene has changed, right?
Okay.
Because Dave Matthews is no longer commercial.
True. Right? Very true.
So Dave Matthews now, like he just released a new album.
Well, he's made his money, and it's all about art.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that the people that have stuck with Dave Matthews are the people who actually. I mean, this is a very much a generalization. I get it, but I feel like the people that have stuck with Dave Matthews were before in 1998, 1997. When I would go see him in high, 96, 97. I was in high school. You go see him, and it was an excuse for high school idiots and college kids to go and drinking and you'd have like all the jocks starting fights and all this BS. And it was like kind of like the first real excursion of getting into like a concert scene. Right. And right. That was the kind of all the BS behind it. Those people have now since grown up, you know what I mean? And the scene at Dave Matthews now is, don't get me wrong, there's still a bunch of high school kids and college kids that go to it, but
punks.
But the set list and the music they put together and the set list they put together are definitely, they're not playing for a record label now, yeah. Right? And that's actually I think why I'll say I enjoy watching him perform. I'll sit at home and listen to him because my wife listens to him nonstop. But I actually enjoy going to the shows because I have a much greater appreciation for the music, right? Yeah. Yeah. And they're very, very talented dudes in that band.
Yeah, I want to clarify that. Like anyone out there who's a Dave Matthews fan, it was not my opinion. It was not a reflection upon the music of just merely the crowd.
Remember how he said Dave Matthews sucks.
I did not say Dave Matthews sucks because he is a very talented musician.
Well, dude, I look back now at the crowds and that were at. It was terrible. Like it was awful. Like, it was just a bunch of clowns. And there's still some of that there now, but it's so interesting when you have a band who is playing for a label before, and is playing for the art of it now, and playing for a label. I guess they're trying to sell albums, right? But no, but you can tell they're in it for the right reasons, and I don't think they ever weren't in it for the right reasons. I think that's the music industry kind of dictating a lot of that too. Like,
yeah.
I actually have respect for that band.
Yeah, like
one last thing, because if you think about it, it's like Dave Matthews, like anybody who's heard Dave Matthews, all of his songs from his perspective, and from this is my opinion, I think he sounds exactly the same in every song.
Yeah.
But what differentiates their music is the band. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. Notwithstanding the allegations against Leroy, what's his name? The violinist. I don't know if you heard that story or not, but
still the original guys.
He is not on tour right now.
No, they had one guy die.
He had one guy die. And then, dude, I don't know if you've read the stories about Leroy.
No,
not great. A little bit of a Me Too movement with Leroy and, a young man.
But, you know, like it's funny with like musicians and like sometimes they make it really early and then sometimes they make it late. And like I remember an interview with Eddie Vedder, who's the lead singer for Pearl Jam, Jack.
I knew that.
Okay. You never know.
I'm not really into Pearl Jam, but I knew who he was.
But like he I remember him talking about that, how he never considered himself part of the grunge movement, the whole early 90s sound.
He created it.
Well, I mean, because like Nirvana.
Not owning it.
Yeah, Nirvana and so many other bands like took up that mantle, and like he said, like, you know, this is our first record, and like I thought like it would be like three or four records in before we even got big, but it just blew up, and then a lot of our fans kept wanting that record over and over and over again, and they did. Like if you listen to Pearl Jam, they did. They changed like a lot of bands do. Each album was different than the one before.
Hugely different.
Yeah.
Like I'll say the first CD I ever purchased, my first venture into transitioning from cassette to CD was Pearl Jam 10.
Wow, you were 11.
Yeah. Was I?
Yeah. Came out in 91.
Good job there, Rain Man. My God.
Well, I mean, because I remember like my first CD I bought was Metallica's Injustice for All. because I still remember buying those late 80s CDs when they were in the long box.
Yeah. Well, so.
Oh, yeah. I
definitely didn't buy it in 91.
Okay.
But I think the first CD I purchased was 10. Hmm. Just happened to be late to the game, apparently.
I don't remember. It was that old. I don't remember my first CD. Probably Boston or Journey or something like that.
Fun fact, my first DVD I ever purchased, Spaceballs.
Oh.
Mine was Remember the Titans.
We are the Titans, the mighty, mighty Titans.
I remember like it was cheap. I was very anti-DVD for a long time because I grew up blinking at my dad. Like, why would I pay $20 for one movie when I can go to Walmart and buy a 6 to 8 hour VHS tape and record 3 to 4 movies on it? You know? And that's the way I thought for a long time. And
so, well, you sound like my mom. I know I've told this story before, but when I first got my car, she goes, "You can have my 8-track tape player." I go, I don't want your 8-track tape player. But yeah. I had tons of, because my hi-fi, whatever you want to call it, I had my room record player / 8-track tape player. I had tons, Led Zeppelin, Queen. I had all these 8-track tapes. She goes, "What are you gonna do with those?" I go, "Well, I'm gonna throw them away unless you want them." I go, "But tapes are what's in." I go, "Because with 8-tracks, you couldn't just click, but you couldn't get to the song you wanted, basically."
Right.
Right.
I said, "No." Well, I go, "Yeah, I'm gonna go with tapes."
So you had four buttons per
right.
8-track, and you had 4 songs usually per track, and you had to right. listen to all 4 songs. Yeah. And that's what sucked.
I don't remember 8-track. So I don't know if it just out of my mind, or my parents, my earliest memory of my parents' cars were cassette players.
Cassette, yeah.
Or just radio.
Yeah. It's just before our time, Chris.
Yeah.
The only reason why I know 8-tracks is because my GTO I own had an 8-track in it, and I had 16 8-tracks that came with it, and I used it sometimes.
Well, they were just so bulky, and I'm not having 8-tracks in my car. But I think the Dharma band that they gave away at the I think it does have an, because doesn't the one in Lost have an 8-track tape player?
It does.
Yes.
Yeah, it did.
The one they found an 8-track tape player, and they put an 8-track tape player That's in awesome. The Dharma band.
But so, did it come with Three Dog Night?
I think I could be wrong. We should ask Frank, who has it. I think it did. I seriously was going to steal it. I mean, that thing was like $35,000-$40,000.
I went to a car show 2 weeks ago in San Marino, which is apparently the really rich area of the Inland Empire, or not technically the Inland Empire, but it's right there south of Pasadena. And they had 3 or 4 late 60s VW minibuses, and I was in love with all of them. They were just so gorgeous and so perfect. And like one of them had the camper and all the stuff inside of it. I was like, oh my God, they're just so, I mean, I would never be able to fit in one, but I just love them.
I would, if I had one, I would make it look like a Dharma van.
You'd have to.
But it's just funny how they did, they made everything detailed was, if it was in the Dharma van, on the show, I think it was put in that van. I think that was the hardest part, was finding a workable 8-track tape player. Maybe they contacted my mom. I don't know. That could have been it.
So I don't know if this is a recycled story or not, but my first car that I had was a 1983 Chevy Cavalier.
Nice.
And I bought it for $50 off my neighbor. he was gonna donate it to the kidney foundation. So I just took it out of his hands.
Was it 1-800 cars for kids?
Don't start
1-800-7 car for kids.
I told you the history of that, right?
Yeah, you told us.
We did.
Off the air. So this might be a was that?
Did you pay cash or did you make payments?
I paid cash.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
It was two 20s and 2 5s.
Nice.
So I bought this car for $50, and to tell you the quality of car, at one point I took this car off a jump. That was just my idiot 16-year-old self. I did not treat this car well at all. But I had, in effect, an 8-track in that car. Not truly, but it pretty much was, because I had a cassette tape that was stuck, and I couldn't remove it from the tape deck by the time I got rid of that car. And I'm so pissed about it because it was amazing, an amazing cassette that is a very rare now that I realize it after the fact, rare cassette. And it was one of the original pressings or tapings or recordings, whatever, of Sublime's 40 Ounce of Freedom. Now, if you're interested in looking at this track list, it's really cool because 40 Ounce of Freedom, they actually, Sublime signed, I believe, with maybe Capricorn or one of those labels back, Arista. I'm not quite sure what label they signed with after they originally released 40 Ounces. So it got re-released under the record label that they signed with. But the original tape had tons of extra stuff on it. So there's probably, I don't know how many minutes worth of extra audio on that tape, but because of royalties that the record label didn't want to pay, they had to cut out a lot of the sampling, and a lot of the tracks were longer, and they cut a lot of it to not pay those royalties. And I still have in my head what the ends of songs should sound like.
Right.
In my head, and I can't listen to it because you can't find that tape anywhere. I actually recently looked into it, and then I found copies of that tape like on eBay for like hundreds of dollars.
Somebody has to have put it to digital, and you can find it on the internet.
If anybody listening right now has the original cut, the original press of 40 Ounce of Freedom before they signed their record label, please let me know, because I would love to have that again.
All right, well, let's get on that.
Get up again.
I'm just waiting for people to send in there if they found it or not.
Right now.
Yeah.
Before we actually submit the podcast.
Well, there's people listening, right? It'll be on our Facebook ads.
Oh my goodness, it was so good.
It's almost like if you watch a TV show, like if you watch MASH on TV now, they've cut, you know, they've taken a 26 minute episode and made it a 22, because you've had the DVDs, they've cut out so much of the show.
Well, it's like The Empire Strikes Back, for example. When R2 gets eaten by the monster in the swamp on Dagobah, The original line once he gets out is something like, "You're lucky you don't taste very good," or
something like that. Yeah,
something like that. But they changed it in a special edition from 97. It's a different line, and it's been that way ever since. But like every time I see the scene, I always remember that original line, because that's how I grew up watching it.
Yeah, it just it's just amazing. Well, you know, like shows today, they don't have theme songs.
Yeah,
they just go straight into the episode.
Sometimes I'm happy though, because like you can tell, like especially some of those late 70s, early 80s films that you knew someone had kind of a weak script, and it's just like a good 5 minutes of opening credits with the song.
Yeah,
and like, get on with it.
That's true. But a lot of the shows, that's the best part of the show sometimes is the, it's like today, even Hawaii Five-O still has a theme song. They keep the theme song.
Yeah, I mean, Laverne and Shirley and so many, they had like great opening theme songs. Yeah.
And that's going to be a lost art. Lost forever. Except you like Westworld has a pretty good theme song.
I like it when, like, I had a friend of mine. I don't know why she felt like she needed to cheer me up. I wasn't deprived or anything, but she was like, "I like you just the way you are." You know, and I was like, "Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it."
Like you just the way you are. Did you have, were you saying I hate myself or?
No, I wasn't. I can say like, I wasn't. She, I don't know why. I guess something I wrote down. Like she,
maybe it was your aura. Maybe, yeah, maybe. Just,
it's purple right now, and it needs to be like, or it's black right now, and it needs to be orange or something.
Orange. Yeah. I think orange is good aura.
Okay.
Well, orange, yeah. I think is the ghost, right? Because our ghosts always have like an orange.
Oh, so you're saying I'm dead.
Outline. Well, I'm just saying. I just, you know. When I see him, it's usually like an orange thing going on.
Chris is really into something right now.
I'm so sorry. I'm getting.
Is Chris watching porn?
I'm finding that out.
Yes, porn face. It's true. What was your first car, Nick?
My first. Well, okay. Technically, my first is a 1986 Ford F-150. It was beige with no AC, no heat, no radio, no nothing. It was a farm truck. And then I went to an 89 Ford F-150, then a 96 Silverado to a 93 GMC. I always had trucks. I've always had trucks. The only car I've ever owned that I drove daily was a 2011 Chevrolet Malibu.
Yeah, my first car was a Gran Torino. My parents gave it to me.
Nice.
And I was going to trip it out to Starsky and Hutch. I was going to get the Zebra 3, make it cherry red and get the stripe.
The stripes, yeah.
And what the best part was, I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken at the time and would come home covered with grease. And back then, you didn't have to wear seatbelts. So it had vinyl seats. So every time I made a turn,
you slid.
I slid. I would slide back and forth because I had grease all over me and no seatbelt. But then the gas price, we had it was 78. We had all the gas problems because of, the embargoes and all that crap. Then we had odd and even. Then gas shot up to like 78 cents a gallon. I said, look, I can't afford it. It's a V8. I go, I can't afford this. So I finally talked my dad into letting me buy a car with my own money. He goes, you're going to hate making these payments. Everyone's already paid for. I go, yeah, but I can't afford the gas, old man. I'm saying that in my head. But I said, no, I don't mind making the payments. I don't mind doing this. I got a Datsun 210, which that's when they had Datsun. Yeah. Loved the car, but man, was he right. About 3-4 months later, I hated making the payments. I paid it off early. That's because I did double up the payments and pay it off early. I did listen to him on that part. But so many things, I look back and I've told this story before. My dad wanted me to buy it. I worked at Sony in Rancho Bernardo. And there were houses out there like $100,000 at the time. And he goes, this is what you do. Buy a house out there. You live out there anyway. Get your three friends, Dale, Dave, and Bob. Get 4-bedroom house. Rent out the rooms. They pay your mortgage. And you have a house. And down the road, you'll have a house already. I go, old man is crazy. I'm 20 years old. I don't need no damn house. Those houses now probably $900,000, over $1 million just because it's in the area it's in. So I always told him before he passed away, I said, yeah, you were right about that. I gave him that.
You never, there's certain things you never sell. And, land, property is one of them. And I remember my dad having a conversation with my sister and I talking about our family farm one day. And he was like, well, I was like, what are you guys going to do? Once all this is yours. And my sister's like, well, we'll sell it. And then like the next day I was named the executor of the will because it was like, your sister didn't know how to think.
I'd see that money.
You don't sell land. You're an idiot.
I take it and run with it.
Yeah, but going back to your Gran Torino though, I've never driven one, but I always heard they're really heavy in the rear,
it was a heavy car. I mean, it was just it was a gas guzzler, but it was a big car. It was it wasn't a 16-year-old kid's car. It looked like a family car. Now if I would have could have got the rims on it like I wanted to and all the different stuff I was going to do. Yeah, but then once the gas prices got too high, I went with the Datsun 210. I put a little sunroof in. Didn't open up, just kind of popped open.
Right.
But you had to have it because everyone else had a sunroof. But I have a sunroof in my car right now, and I never open it up. But
Was it a stick?
It was automatic.
Automatic. Okay.
My second car, which was a Mustang, was a stick, and I didn't know how to drive a stick yet, but it would actually tell you when to shift.
Oh,
so after that, I got that, and then an Escort GT, which was a stick. Vans. I got family cars after that.
I heard Escort, and then lost you after that.
It was Escort. It put out. Was it Escort GT? That car was Jinx from day one. It was a nice little black and white car. It was nice. It had great pickup. But this car, literally the stick shift broke. I mean, And I 1 month, I didn't even make a payment on it. And they wanted to charge me for it. I go, well, you know what? You can keep it. They go, what? I go, I'm not paying for something that broke. and it was a bolt that came. They wanted to charge me like $145. This car got hit in the fender. Someone keyed it. Someone opened the door. I mean, it had dings all over it. It was just, I called it the Jonah. It was Jinx from the start. I couldn't wait to get, that's when we traded in for a minivan. That's when we started our minivan craze.
Yeah, I can drive a stick, but I grew up in West Tennessee. It's all flat. So I grew up driving sticks thinking like, it's no big deal, you know? And then when I moved to Knoxville, which is mountains and hills, I had never actually driven a stick on a hill before. And I was like, how to get going when you're rolling back, when you let off the brake and you have to have the clutch and the gas. I was like, oh my God, what the hell is this?
It's all in the timing.
Yeah, it is. And it's a different skill for sure.
I know Dell didn't know how to drive a stick. And when they closed a rink that he was the manager of, my wife was the general manager. So they loaded up all the stuff in this U-Haul. It was a stick. And she gets in the passenger side. He goes, well, I can't drive this. What do you mean you can't drive this? I can't drive a stick. So my wife had to turn around and go over. And she always gives him crap to this day that he couldn't drive a stick to. Which shocks me because his dad has trucks and all that stuff. But anyway.
So this show, in talking with you guys, is dangerous for my wallet.
What else are you buying?
So I just put in a bid.
Oh, for the album, yeah.
For the album. Yeah. And I lowballed. So we'll see. Yeah.
I should go in there and raise.
This will be a momentous occasion, seeing as if it goes through, this will be two pieces of physical media.
Well, why didn't you wait until someone might have it? Like Nick said, it's online somewhere.
Because you usually can. Like, there's always kind of some weird website you can find downloads of old out of print records. For sure.
What's that thing that used to be called LimeWire? Or
yeah, but you never know what you're gonna get.
That's true.
You know, like, and granted, the person I'm bidding from probably could have created this from a digital copy, but whatever.
I guarantee it's a burn of something because, like, there's a Neil Young record called Time Fades Away, which was out of print basically from, it came out in 73, and he never, ever allowed a reissue of it because he hated it. And I had it on CD 15 years ago. And it wasn't released finally on CD until like 2 years ago, and all that time.
And here's why I'm a little hesitant, because the buy it now is $19, which is interesting.
Nothing.
I would be willing to pay that money, but the fact that he has a best offer, I threw in $10. But like, here's what's interesting is like this particular one here is $19, but I've seen them elsewhere for $100, right?
Does it give you a sample of the quality?
The audio.
I'm looking at, and I'll share with you guys on the screen here what I'm looking at, because it actually does look legit. Hang on one second. I know this is great for people listening.
They don't care. Whatever. They stopped listening a while ago.
Deal with it. So it looks legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, no. I mean, if you look at it, it looks like a really crappy Xerox copy of the cover, though. Just from like the half a second.
Nope, that looks like a golfer.
There we go. I think it's legit.
Well, you can tell that CD's burned. Yeah.
That disc is burned.
Yeah.
Well, you'll find out, because I think they're going to take your best offer.
I mean, it's so what? If you got $20, you got $20. It's like, yeah, okay.
But wait, no. I'm sorry. That was the other side of the disc. That's the disc. That's the right ink. That's the right artwork.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So I think this might be legit.
Oh, it's not a golfer. It's a dog. I thought it was a golfer.
Yeah. And the seller's got 100% feedback rating. So who knows?
All right. I said go for it. Speaking of golfers, I did want to talk about Phil Mickelson real quick. Anybody see what he did?
No.
Because my brother-in-law is a big golfing fan, and you know, obviously Phil Mickelson, I hate to say it, he's from San Diego, and he's had a rough year. His football team got taken away from him, but everyone kept talking about it, he was trending on Twitter. I go, all right, what did he do that was so bad? And I found out that he chased the golf ball after he missed the putt and hit it. I thought he like launched it into the crowd or did something. All he did was whack it back towards the hole again. You know how you're golfing and just, but that's a big no-no in golf. So I'm not a golfer, and I don't know golf etiquette, but I was like, okay, what is the big deal? I mean, you have hockey players are licking each other's faces and they're fighting, and baseball players will throw a 100-mile-an-hour pitch at someone's head, and football players gouge eyes out. But in golf, you take another whack at that ball when it's not your turn.
I love Phil Mickelson.
I mean, he's even on. He's on the senior tour now, isn't he?
No.
No, he's
still legit.
Yeah.
Really? All right. Well, then, okay. Let's say if he's on the senior.
He tried to buy the Padres at one point, but backed out. But no, but people were outraged by what he did. It's outraged. Stupid. I go, I don't get it. I thought it was something worse. I go,
Jack, you know as well as all of us do that people get outraged over anything.
That's true.
He knocked the salt over on the table.
And it took him forever to pick it up.
Yeah.
Ah. No, I just thought it was going to be this really big, like he threw his, Judge Smells does in Caddyshack, mm-hmm. where he throws the golf club and hits his putter and hits the woman in the head.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be something like that. And I'm like going, all right, this is it. I don't get it, but that's me. And I'm not a golfer. So you golfers out there, I know that there's etiquette, but. When I played sports, I played real sports. So.
When I play golf, there is no etiquette.
No, well, there isn't. Yeah, usually I'm drinking. So,
you know, there's so many things, though, that to me are just absurd to even get upset about or even argue about. It's like when people get, who's better, LeBron or Jordan? I don't care. I would say Jordan.
It's no argument.
But I don't care. I really don't care.
Both are great players.
Both are great players, but I don't care. It's like, in 50 years or 100 years, no one will care. So why are you getting upset about this?
Well, maybe not basketball. I think baseball is the one sport that statistics mean something. That's why I said we had a debate on our years ago on our Facebook page about steroids, how it ruined baseball. Some people said, you know, it's butt hurt that you're – I go, no, it ruined forever. Those stats are ruined forever.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't – because when I was a kid, I could have told you anything from baseball, the stats. I could have told you any of it because that's what I follow. That's what I loved. And I did. And we'd have the argument, who would you put, Babe Ruth or Ted Williams? But, you know, you'd go round and round with the different, you know, debates. But I like, is it basketball? Probably not.
Yeah.
Like football? I mean, does anyone really care who the best quarterback is of all time? Anti-straw guy.
Oh, I didn't even realize we lost Chris.
Yeah. Well, yep. You can never tell.
I'm back.
Because you got Tom Brady now that's against plastic straws. So.
Oh, also Tom Brady talking about retirement.
It's that time.
So that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I'm talking about the plastic straws.
That's what's really nuts to me as I've gotten older is that, you know, when you're 18, you think 40 is ancient.
Oh, yeah.
And once you are approaching 40 – and you hear about like Manning or Tom Brady or all these people going like, well, I'm 40 years old. I need to retire. You're like, I don't even think of myself as old. I know Jack probably doesn't even think of himself as old. I mean, you never, ever feel old, like ever.
Yes, you do.
You do? You think, oh, you're back. I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. You do get to a certain point where you can't do things. Yeah. You get to that point. You feel old.
I'll tell you though, like you closing on 40. What year is it? I just turned 38.
Not yet, right? But close.
I turned 38.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, back in May. Okay. Like shoot, I remember when my parents turned 40.
Yeah.
That freaks me out.
When I hit 40, it was my wife was upset. I was still in pretty good. I was in great. 40.
We lost you, Jack.
I'm sorry. I said I was in better shape. My wife was really up. That was a big number for her, 40. But at 40, I was in great shape. I was in better shape at 40 than I was 30. I just was because the kids were older and I could go and do more stuff, mm-hmm. exercise. And we had stuff here too. So, but but now at 55, oh, I'm feeling it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just nuts.
I mean, I can't imagine being 80.
Oh, I know it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to be the downer, but at age 38, I realized that I can't function on more than 4 hours sleep. And I've got a 5 a.m. start tomorrow.
All right. Yeah.
So are you ready to wrap this up?
I think so.
It's all right. So
if even you guys, my computer's telling me cut it out.
If you guys have a suggestion for Netflix, just send it to marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com or just put it on Facebook. We're not doing a poll this month because we can't figure it unless we can figure out how to work it. But yeah,
someone just put something on the Facebook.
Yeah. What you guys want to do, what you guys want to watch, and we'll go from there. Excuse me. I got to stop smoking. And then if you like this show, which is a patron-driven show, and who doesn't like this show and other shows on the network, you can become a patron. Go to patreon.com/JayandJack, or just go to jayandjack.com, become a patron. Every little bit helps these shows and helps keep like people like Matt off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you shop Amazon like Chris while he's podcasting.
Right. Yeah. I bought 2 forms of physical media. That's something that hasn't happened in 10 years.
What's a 10 hat mean?
Oh, 10. This is we're going to give free shout outs.
Did we?
Yeah.
Company's called Tentree. Yeah.
Matt asked
every article of clothing you buy from Tentree, the company plants 10 trees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, really needs it.
They're literally a Johnny Appleseed.
And there's another company. There's another company. What was it? 9 that chops them all down.
Huh.
9.5.
I'm kidding. Of course, I'm kidding. anyway, you can go to Amazon.com/JayandJack or just go to JayandJack.com. Click on Amazon. You can buy what Chris was buying lots of stuff. Help support Chris because this podcast literally cost Chris $100 an episode.
Sure did.
To buy, but that's all we got. And next week, Matt will be back. I know he's a favorite.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's true.
And the week after, I'll be gone.
Oh, wow.
You serious, Clark?
On vacation.
On vacation. You're always on vacation.
What? I get one a year.
Yeah.
I just plan weekends really thoughtfully.
Okay. That's what I'm seeing. All right. And then after that, we'll be in Comic-Con, so I'll be gone.
Yeah, me too.
We'll take that week off. So. All right, guys. In lovely, you see where San Diego, they're going to close that Harbor Road off?
I actually love that idea.
It's a great idea, except if you have to drive down there.
Yeah.
Now all those other roads are going to be backed up with traffic.
San Diego is an interesting – the downtown section of San Diego is really interesting because it's perfectly designed for the wind coming off the ocean to keep the city cool. But there's so many one-way streets that it just messes so bad.
And it's been like that forever. But like I said, if you just built a tunnel or put the bridge there, you would have no issues. You don't even need a fancy bridge. Just a bridge that can have traffic going, foot traffic going both ways. Cars could keep going. No one would have to stop. But why do it
all the way down? Yeah, by the...
Because now you're going to have people complaining that all the back roads, people like me that have to drive in, will be complaining that, I'm parking 6 miles away just because I can walk in. But
I'm sorry to keep the podcast going because I know Chris wants to go to bed.
You're absolutely killing me, Nick.
Yeah, but Chris, I know that you're not a...
You look tired, Chris.
You're not going to Comic-Con. But have you seen that, Jack? Like how many companies have dropped out of Comic-Con this year?
Game of Thrones is not doing a panel. Westworld's not doing a panel.
Stars is not coming. HBO's not coming. I don't even think Marvel's
Nerdist.
Coming. So many Nerdist is coming. Like, there's so many things. It's like, well, what are we going for?
Well, the Jay and Jack panel will still be there at the library.
Woohoo!
So there you go. There's that.
Looking forward to us seeing all 10 of you.
Yeah. Hey, we get free passes out of it. That's all that matters. That's it. That's all I got. Chris needs to get some sleep. I need to get some sleep. Nick needs to get... What are you doing, Nick?
Yeah, I'll probably watch some TV.
Yeah, it's still early for you. All right, guys. We'll be back next week. Hasta luego. And goodbye.
See you.
Das Boot.
Yeah.